Welcome to On the Ground IPSY, a weekly feature here on 89.1 WEMU, and of course you can find it at concentratemedia.com. Concentrate Media is our partner in this venture. We're very proud to be our media partner for the venture that puts an embedded reporter in our community telling the stories of those just trying to do the most good for Ypsilanti and Ypsilanti Township. And our embedded reporter is with us this morning. Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
And welcome. What was the big topic this week?
I wrote about the Village Project at Erickson Elementary.
Okay, and we're going to hear all about that. You brought a couple of good guests to tell us about it. But first, concentratemedia.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's Concentrate A2 on Facebook.
Yep.
Concentrate Media on Instagram and on Twitter.
Yeah.
And if you can't remember all of that, just go to WEMU.org. We've got the article linked up today with, I'm hoping, some great pictures from Doug this week again.
Oh, definitely.
All right, super. I loved the ones from last week, by the way, all the cool businesses.
Yeah.
He just has a way of framing those pictures. It just kind of jumps off the screen.
Yeah.
Introduce who you've brought with you this morning.
I've got Kelly Mickle. She's the principal of Erickson Elementary, and okay. Jody O'Brien is a social worker at Erickson.
So Kelly and Jody, either one of you can kind of jump in here. Give me the 30,000 foot summary of what it is you're doing and why you're here today. But, you know, kind of tell us what the need you saw and what you're trying to do to fix that need or fill that need.
That's
Jody, by the way, talking.
Yes,
sorry. No, you're fine.
I'm the social worker at Erickson. I had one of our fifth graders who came to me after visiting her sister who was in juvenile detention, and she came to me and said how great it was there. She was telling me how good the food was. There was, you know, you got your own bed, you got clean sheets, you got to watch TV, there were books. And I could just see this look in her eye like it was a really good place to be.
Right. Like comparing their whole life at home to life in a form of prison and liking the alternative because, man, there's those things kids need. A roof over their head, a place to sleep at night, and even a quiet place and three square meals a day.
Yep.
And yeah, and learning opportunities, too.
Yeah.
And maybe a safer environment, too. So,
yeah.
You know, that I'm sure your heart probably broke a little bit on the inside when you heard about that. And what did that lead you to?
So I went to Kelly and I said, Kelly, I really don't know how to look her in the eye and tell her that she doesn't want to go to juvie. And I don't know what to do. And so Kelly then reached out to some people she knows.
So Kelly, you got working on the kids that you see every day there at Erickson. Who did you reach out to and what were you getting going?
So I actually reached out to Derek Jackson from the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office and Holly Heveland from the Washtenaw Intermediate School District. And they connected me with Cheyenne Turner, who works at the Juvenile Detention Center. And the initial intention was to just provide an intervention for this particular student. But as Cheyenne visited my school, met some of my students, and we got to talking, the Village Project idea was born.
Okay, so tell us the Village Project. What does it encompass, and how can we see it, or how can we you know, feel that it's in action, or what are you guys doing?
So it's really just a pilot this year because we came up with the idea in March when this student came to Ms. O'Brien with the concern. And we only had about 2 months left of school to do anything about it. So it's a mentorship opportunity for students to have a success coach. And the foundation is these positive adult role models will work alongside of the students to help them build the life skills that they need to be successful, to make good choices for themselves, to help them get the things that they don't have, and to realize that there are other options for them to get all of those needs met.
I think something we tend to forget as adults is kids have a very narrow world view. They think their home is normal, that not having food in the pantry or not seeing their parents or not feeling safe in their own home or being able to sleep is just part of life. And I think it was weird that it was exposed to this child through going to visit somebody at juvie, but it's eye-opening for us to realize that even victims of abuse don't see that as abnormal necessarily. They may ask for help. So I'm glad that the student asked you for help, but you know, how much of that do you have to combat with these kids that just think that that's just life, that's just the path they're on?
That is one of the things. The girl who came to me has a sibling as well, and a younger sibling, a fourth grade sibling, and I've talked a lot with her, and she identified to me she's going to be the first one in her family to not go to jail, and it was such an interesting thing for me to, you know, you hear kids say, like, I'm going to be the first one to go to college, but to say I'm going to be the first one not to go to jail was
well, it's no less of an accomplishment, though, either. I mean, because once you get in that cycle of poverty and cycle of crime and cycle of abuse, it is so hard to break out of it. And kids learn those habits at that mm-hmm. age and think that, again, they think that's normal. They think that's life. Eventually, what would you like to see this grow into? I mean, what's the kind of scope of helping that you'd like to give these kids?
So our biggest challenge is finding adults to serve as mentors and success coaches. So we'd really like to get to a place where we can serve more students than we were able to this time. And we'd also like to get to a place where it's a one-to-one ratio. We had a limited amount of volunteer success coaches, so some success coaches had multiple students. And we found that although that was good in our whole group situations, when they were working individually with students, it was somewhat distracting, and not all of the students may have had their needs met because that coach was trying to juggle three of them at one time.
I know there are people whose ears are perking up right now thinking, wow, this would be great. I'd love to participate in this. So let's take a quick second. Let people know, how can they reach out to you? How can they find you? How can they participate or inquire about for more information about the program?
Yep. So to get involved with the Village Project and to serve as a success coach or in any capacity that you might see yourself fitting into, we're open to ideas and growing the program in any way. You can reach out to me directly, Kelly Mickle. I'm on the YC Schools website through Erickson Elementary's page. My email is kmickle6@ycschools.us. That would be the best way.
And we'll make sure to include that information too. I'm sure it's probably
it's in
your
story.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get it up on Facebook. We'll get it up on WEMU.org. So later, if you forget about it, you can just go to our website, WEMU.org. It'll be there as well. So Jody, tell me about this early on, this pilot project. Tell me about, you know, some of the mentors, some of the kids. What are some early successes you're seeing? I mean, what's putting a smile on your face knowing that you're doing some good here?
I will say that the biggest thing that has really helped me personally is seeing all of these people from the community coming and being part of this, because it's really shown me people care and want to help. And so it feels so good. We had some really wonderful success coaches who just like jumped in and did whatever they had to do to figure out how to make this work. Everything happened really quickly, and there were just so many people who were really willing to be part of it. And even if they couldn't commit to being a success coach, they would, you know, they still would come for different, you know, days that we had like big group things. And it just made me feel really good to see this. You know, one of the things we had talked about is wanting one-on-one mentors. But what we found that turned out to be a good thing from something that didn't go quite as planned was that these kids really connected with all different adults. And so they would just see a coach come into the school and we're like, oh, coach whoever, you know. So that was really cool to see, because then they knew. And it's one of the things that I've been talking a lot with the students about is these people are here for you because they care. They don't have to be here. They're not paid to be here. They're just coming in for you.
And how strange must it be that to some kids that's a foreign concept, that somebody cares enough about them to put their needs first rather than their own. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and imagine that you're calling it the Village Project because it takes a village to raise children. All right, good.
You got it.
Went out on a limb there. That was a dangerous assumption. I think in today's world, what we see a lot, especially in more impoverished communities or those living under the poverty line or those with job issues or crime issues in their neighborhoods, is isolation. That a lot of these kids, all they're seeing are you as a teacher and whoever they may bump to on the bus, and then home to maybe see nobody until the next morning, and then sometimes for the whole summer, you know, they're in front of a TV, or that's basically the only social interaction they're having. How important is it for you for these kids to just interact with people that they haven't seen on a daily basis, to learn that there's a whole world outside their neighborhood?
So that was a big component of this project, while looping in the community to get volunteers to serve as success coaches, cultivate a coffee and tap house, and original Moxie. and Ryan Griffin, who's a local barber, stepped up and offered their establishments, their services, their products, and the kids got to take a field trip to Cultivate. And we did some work in the back around the gardens and planting and growing and kind of getting back to those roots of how do we take care of ourselves and how did they do it way back in the day before there were microwaves. And then Original Moxie and Ryan Griffin came in to the school and they did a workshop with the students and brought other people to help. There was a group from Eastern who focuses on natural hair just like Original Moxie does, and so the girls got to do a hair demonstration and get products and just realize that they can build their own self-esteem. They don't need a whole lot to do it with, but these are the steps that you can take to do that. And so that piece and the smiles on these kids' faces and our pictures on the Erickson Facebook page speaks volumes for the experience and the success of it so far this year.
Can we talk a little bit about being a teacher in today's world, or you know, an administrator at an elementary school in today's world? Did these roles exist 25 or 30 or 40 years ago that you're taking on now to be more than just an educator, to be a social worker, to be a person helping to give kids a leg up, to in some ways de facto parent some of these children because they're not getting a role model or they're not getting that positive influence anywhere else? I mean, how much has the world changed to have you stepping into things that maybe when you were going to school for this you didn't think about doing directly?
I think one of the things for me, my role is brand new to IPSE schools. This is my second year in the school. So traditionally there's just special education social workers. I'm a general education social worker. There's like a handful of us. Right. So it really is truly a new role because the school saw the need.
Well, that's good. That's a definite need that we see. And that's not limited, certainly, to Ypsilanti. I think any district anywhere has kids who are in need and have a social need. But it's good they've identified it. So what were you tasked with? Was this the kind of thing that they envisioned you doing?
I think so.
Okay.
You know, it was pretty broad, looking at what the need was. And so the good part of that is that I've been able to be a little bit flexible and kind of creative with what I've been doing. I really did not envision this even being what it happened to be, but I'm so glad that it was able to come together like it did.
And Kelly, do you see this as something that, as a pilot project at Erickson, that could expand outwards into every portion of the district eventually, and maybe a model that other districts take up down the road?
I definitely do. I think that the way education and society has changed things, and the lives that students lead, the trauma-informed practices approach that we take at Erickson, and looking at the student as the whole child approach, where all of their needs have to be met in order for them to be successful learners. And when those needs aren't met, they're not able to be successful in the classroom. That's, you know, the efforts that Jody and I have made with her role, and then taking this project, putting it in place as an attempt to take this small group right now to pilot with and see how we can best meet their needs, give them these life experiences, and how that will then hopefully carry with them throughout. And so as far as it getting replicated, I absolutely think it can be. I'd love to, you know, grow what we've done this year and do it for a longer portion of next year with more volunteers and more kids. And then I could absolutely see schools picking it up and going from there.
Well, I think we've always been pretty well aware that children who have issues at home with food or with stability or with violence or any kind of abuse, you'll see it at school. Their grades will drop. They won't be attending school. There'll be violence at school, other disciplinary issues. So I think that's a shift. Is it used to be the educators would say, let the parents take care of it, and they'd send a note home, but who do you send that note home to if the parents aren't there, or if the parents are overwhelmed by a million other things or are experiencing those issues themselves? So good on you, and I guess good on IPSE schools too, for recognizing that the whole child has to be present mentally and physically in order to be well educated. thank you for doing this, getting this program going. We'll keep up with it. Unfortunately, our time's up for today, but I wanted to remind people that we'll have the contact information for you if you'd like to be involved. If thinking about being a mentor just, you know, sparked you and you're thinking, gosh, I really want to get involved with these kids and show them that there is a great path to success no matter where you start from, we will have the contact information up for Kelly up at WEMU.org. You can find it at concentratemedia.com as well. Brianna, what stuck with you this week? What was the big takeaway for you?
I think my favorite part was just getting to interact with the kids. I was able to go to the last whole group event on June 1st, I think it was, or mm-hmm. May 30th at Erickson, and got to see the kids interact with the hair demos and see all their energy and enthusiasm. And I could definitely see that this program is having an impact on them just by seeing the way they're interacting with the adults and with their peers.
Cool. Thanks for doing the story. What do you have on tap for next week?
I'm writing about a Fresh Start Community Garden that just got started at the Civic Center in Ipsy Township.
All right, and you can find that at concentratemedia.com and, of course, at WEMU.org. This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti, your community NPR station.